Good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and welcome to the Home Improvement Show. Sue Smith with you, and we are here to answer your questions. All you have to do is call us or text us, 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. As always, on the Home Improvement Show, I am joined by Walter Assey, who is the president of Renovco. Good morning, Walter.
Hello. Good to see you again, Sue.
It's nice to be here. All right, so we're going to take people's calls. And again, you can call at 514-790-0800. But we thought we'd start off talking about roofing. What do you want to talk about with roofing?
There's a lot to talk about roofing because it is a kind of a trade or a job that, you know, you don't typically supervise roofers' work. Very few people would actually go up on the roof and see what the roofers are doing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to look into when you're doing a roof. And typically, if you're calling a specialized trade, more often than not, they're only going to look at what you hired them for. So a very common issue that we see with homeowners would be them changing a roof, but that was not really necessarily the problem that was causing them water damage or staining or anything like that. Because there is a lack of understanding. One, I fault the specialized contractor because they should talk about more possibilities. So there is a checklist, as far as I'm concerned, to kind of see if the roofer is good or not good, or if he's going to think outside the box a little bit. One of them is, okay, it's one thing checking your roof. Is he going to poke his head and check your attic? Mm-hmm. For me, that's actually even as important as the roof itself. Because for many reasons. Number one, if there's issues with the roofing system, okay, because it's not just the shingles on the roof or the elastomeric membrane on the roof or whatever roofing membrane you have, it's the actual full system that have to work in unison. You can't really separate it. Just to kind of touch on this, let's say you have a shingles roof, but you have a blocked soffit. So what that's going to give is an overheated attic, okay? In an overheated attic, that means you're going to have issues like condensation, you're going to have issues like the shingles curling, which is going to shorten drastically the life of your roof, and potentially going to still cause you water infiltration problems. You could have lack of insulation in your attic, and, you know, more often than not, you will have water infiltration, but it's due to condensation from the attic and have nothing to do with the roof. So that's why I'm saying it's very important that we look at the insulation factor, we look at the ventilation factor, we look at the shingles, as well, we look at the max vents that are on top of the roof, and then determine if everything is in good working condition or beside the roofing itself, if there are other things to fix. Now, that roofer doesn't necessarily, it's not his...
No, I mean, the roofer doesn't always see all those things. That is the general contractor, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
At least he should be pointing them out, mm-hmm. meaning... He could tell you, call an insulation contractor and add insulation into your attic. Mm-hmm. I mean, best thing if you could do it yourself, but it's not really fun to go walk around the attic, and most people don't like to do that. I don't blame them.
No. And it's also that you don't necessarily know what to look for. Just want to say you're listening to Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco, and he's here to answer your questions. We're talking about roofing right now, but give us a call or send us a text, 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800. And we do have a question coming in on the text line, Walter, but I just want to finish this conversation because this happened to me once. I was supposed to replace the roof, and the roofer came and gave me a price or whatever. And then I had a general contractor come in. And in the end, I had to not only replace the ventilation, but I had to redesign the roof because basically they were like, with this roof design, I think it was called a Cape Cod roof. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, but they were like, well, you'll have to replace the roof like every 10 years because it's always going to create condensation or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more to look at than just, Yeah, the shingles and the state of the shingles.
100%. And if you find that you're replacing your roof, like you said, every 7 to 10 years, that's not a normal thing. A roof should last you 25, 30, yeah. 40 years. So that means there are other underlying problems. And most often than not, like even if you're not seeing the water damage, a lot of cases you go into the attic and you see mold on all of the plywood. Yes, okay, it's not causing you water damage, but it's causing you other problems because that mold is now encrusted into your structural elements and mold feeds on these elements. So it's very important that periodically you check into the attic. It's very important that you ask the roofer to kind of do the whole inspection, if you wish, at least for many reasons. One of them is also the warranty. In a lot of cases, you have a water damage after the roof is done. The roofer would come, go into your attic, because when they look into your roofing, they can say there's nothing wrong. You have lack of insulation. I'm not responsible, right? But that's after the fact. You already had your water damage. Mm-hmm. So if
but will roofers do that kind of an inspection? Like,
you know,
I didn't know they would.
Good roofers do. A lot of times, because again, it's, you know, a good roofer understands what it takes generally for a roofing system to work. So it's almost that they should be doing it. They should, don't just do your job and not look at everything else. You want to make sure that it's successful, that you don't get the call next winter or next spring, and you have to go and justify yourself and fight with your client, right? So, yeah. And if they don't want to do it, there's two ways about it. If you don't want to do it, well, do it yourself. Hire someone to get it done. Mm-hmm. And then,
but you could be opening a whole can of worms, because my understanding is not only it's the insulation, but is the insulation too close to either the roof or the walls? What kind of insulation? The barrier, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you could be into.
So I don't call it opening a can of worms. I call it like not sticking your head in the sand, okay. Hoping for the best, right? If you do have these problems, if you don't deal with them as soon as possible, they're going to kick back, and they're going to kick back hard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't want to be dealing with a moldy attic or a moldy insulation. There are solutions, and there are very good solutions that will give you probably more often than not, better efficiency and energy. They give you a better working roofing system. Because here's the thing. If you have lack of insulation in your attic, okay, yes, you are opening up another job. But what you're also doing is ensuring, for example, you don't have ice damming by adding insulation. What happens is if you have a lack of insulation in the attic, it's going to melt the snow a lot faster from your roof. The snow will slide down and kind of accumulate where the gutter area is, and that's where the ice buildup begins. So simply sometimes by adding insulation, all of these, like, you know, cheating deaths every winter because of these icicles falling on your head is going to be eliminated. You're going to eliminate ice backup that might come back into your home and leak, all of these things. And that is not really warranted by the roofers. The roofers would not give you a warranty on that. Mm-hmm. If it's ice damming, it's not under warranty.
No.
Because it is the water is coming underneath the shingles, traveling upstream and finding its way in, type of scenario. So it's little things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go to sometimes roofing system. I'll give you an example. We were dealing with one particular case. You let me know. And then, you know, the roofing angle was built wrong initially, so they could not have R50, especially towards the end. Mm-hmm. And that was causing problems because it was a weak point on the roof there. So when we took out the roof, we urethaned that area. With 8 inches, we have more than enough in order to create that thermal shield, if you want, between the cold and the hot. And it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't cost much because we were replacing the roof itself.
But to your point, saves on costs later.
Correct.
Okay, you're listening to Walter Assey, and this is the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. We've got a couple of questions on the text line. We'll get to those in a sec, but give us a call, 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Hello and welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Sue Smith sitting in today with Walter Massey, the president of Renovco. Hello again, Walter.
Hello.
And the number to call, 514-790-0800. We've got lots of texts on the line and a couple of callers, 514-790-0800. I want to go to a text that we got to early on when we were talking about roofing, Walter. And it's Deanna, and she wants to know, she has a question related to something about soffits. What would cause soffits to get blocked, and how would I know that they are blocked?
So, I mean, there's a couple of things. Originally, when homes used to be built, there was a lack of understanding about attic ventilation. So a lot of times it was built, like the older homes, were built with block soffits. Mm-hmm. And they would poke holes, like small registers, every so many feet. So it took them a while to realize that that doesn't work. Then they changed the code and they said you have to have more openings. Then they changed the code again. Now they say it has to be a 2-inch continuous trench, meaning unimpeded, or so it cannot be intermittent. The cuts cannot be intermittent. They have to be continuous. So if your home is older, one way to, and a lot of the times, actually there was a funny time when soffits were invented, you know, those aluminum soffits. A lot of people thought of them as decorative because in the olden days, they used to be wood and they would have to paint them.
Yeah.
So what they did is they bought these soffits and they just slapped them over the old wood. And that doesn't do anything. It was just decorative. So if you have that newer soffit, if you were system, and you want to know if it's blocked or not, you bring a broomstick and you kind of hit it. And if you hit back resistance... that means it's actually blocked.
Wow, Walter, that is not what I expected you were going to say. So take a broomstick and hit the soffit. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you can feel it.
Feel the resistance, right. That means there's something blocking above it. So it was probably... So and then you can take one out and see if, you know, they kept maybe a piece of wood, but they made a trench in it or not. So that's one way. The second way, and you know, that's more in like more recent homes, would be the fact that insulation a lot of times fly around. Wind gets into the attic, flies around. People walk in there, some work can happen. And what you could have is partial blockage. So the insulation would fly from one place, go to another. Insulation goes into the soffits. Then just the fact that you have that insulation makes block certain areas. And that also causes problems. So what you do in this case is very simple. You just rebroom back the insulation. Those areas, make sure that you have styrofoam vents or baffles if you have, because that kind of keep the insulation in place.
So, but you're talking in the second case of going up into the attic and moving the insulation, right?
That is
correct.
Do
that with your broom on the ground.
No. I'm talking about walking around the attic, looking at the areas where you don't see this daylight. That's where you investigate first. I mean, anywhere where you see daylight coming in, that's good enough. Uh-huh. When you start seeing that, you know, there are areas where you don't see it, that's when you want to go and investigate. In a lot of cases, you will see actually a pile of insulation in one area more than another area. As a matter of fact, in general, that's not good because where you have R50, now you could have R100 and then you could have R10 because the insulation moves. So you want to kind of free spread it evenly around.
So it's consistent.
It's consistent.
Okay, you're listening to Walter Assey answering your questions. Today we're talking about soffits and roofs. You can talk about anything you like. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. We're going to go to the lines. We've got Suzanne on the line. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Walter. How are you this morning?
Good, good.
We have a brick house, an NDG, 100 years old. In the back of the house, there's a solarium. The solarium is 14 by 7. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, there's some people who had installed a cheap plastic gutter. It's leaking and it's causing a little bit of problems for us. We have to take care of this. We need to take a decision. Do we remove the gutter and replace it? Or we don't need a gutter for such a small space of 14 by 7. That's my first question. And underneath the gutter, there is some wood, and the wood is rotten. So who do we hire, and do we need a gutter for such a small space, which is the inclined roof?
Okay. So to begin with, plastic gutters are good for nothing. So
I know we didn't install that.
Yeah. So I mean, in general, what's important is, I mean, it's the age of the gauge of the gutter as well. So even in aluminum gutters, you have 27 gauge, 32 gauge, depending on the size of the roof, the slopage of the roof. And then you have the depth of the gutter. So, I mean, the size of the gutter, you have 5 inches, 6 inches. So there is a conversation to be had. It's not like I want gutters, please install them for me. Now, gutters are really there for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's water management in general. So you don't want, especially in areas where you have foundation, you don't want the water to kind of accumulate around the foundation and find its way and overburden your French drain in cases where you have torrential rains or a big saw.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, it's a solarium, so there's no basement, right?
There's a terrace.
No, I mean,
deck.
Underneath that, it's... Okay, but underneath that, there's nothing. There's no basement. It's actually built on sonotubes, or there's a foundation there?
There's a foundation on one part, and the other part is the deck.
Okay.
Where the solarium pitches down.
And where there's foundation, is there a basement? Is it accessible?
There's a staircase to go down to the basement, yes.
Okay. So, again, it's about water management. So by you eliminating that gutter, what you have to understand is you're going to have water accumulation around that solarium. So that, you know, you're going to have to see what the domino effect that would give you. The other thing would be also that the rain will have a more direct contact with the cladding. So all the rain that is overflowing from your roof now it might start touching the cladding of your home as well. So that might, if you have a wood finish or what have you, that might start deteriorating the material.
But underneath
quicker.
Us, we have nothing. It's an open space underneath the solarium.
So if there's no impediment, you don't necessarily need. If there's no foundation risk that, you know, you don't necessarily need that gutter. If there's no risk that it's going to touch the cladding a lot more just because now there's no gutter to channel the water, you technically do not need it. Okay.
But it's because it's a small space, the 14 by 7 feet.
Well, I mean, look, regardless of the space, it doesn't really matter what the space is. It's more, you know, again, you take any small space that, you know, have snow on it or have a lot of rain on it and kind of directs the water in one location,
you're
overburdening something. That's what's important. It's really, I don't really look, when we decide for gutters, we decide really about the water management part. We don't care about the space as much.
Now, which company, what kind of company? Because the gutter company told me, no, we don't change the wood underneath. You have to hire someone. Does your company do that? Come and just remove the gutter and change the wood? And put a new gutter?
We can definitely do that. It's not an issue. Some gutter companies do, though. Like, just to be fair, some of them do. It's just, it depends really who you're calling. So if one doesn't, another one might. But we definitely would do that. That's not an issue.
Okay, great.
All right, Suzanne, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
That's Suzanne calling, and you can call too. We got lots of calls on the line, 514-790-0800. Lots of texts coming in too. You are listening to The Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Hello and welcome back to The Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith and we have Walter Assey answering your questions. Hello again, Walter.
Hello.
And we've got a lot of people with a lot of questions on the text line. We've been talking about roofing, but Kathy on the phone line has a different kind of question. Hello, Kathy.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, perfect. I'm calling from the car. So, yes, my question is regarding full electric heating. We switched from dual energy heating to full electric in the winter. And, of course, the hydro rates are much, much different. But I hear from you, Walter, and from all the companies who do this switch is all the savings that we'll have when only the heat pump is in use. But what I don't understand is the heat pump runs on electricity as well. So what is the savings there?
So Usually when the heat pump kicks in, it doesn't take as much electricity as a furnace. So to begin with, you are not consuming that much electricity. That's the whole idea. So when the furnace kicks in, it takes a lot of energy, especially at the beginning before it actually kicks in. That's why, the fact that heat pumps now run most of the time it helps a lot and drastically decreases your bills.
Okay. Yes, we had a big shock in the winter when we got our first bill. It was extremely high. And of course, we're not used to that because we had the special rate for dual energy. But the last bill, because there was just the air conditioning that was involved, was much, much lower. So I guess that's where the savings is, even though the heat pump runs by electricity.
I mean, in the winter, in the summer, it's a heat pump that would run anyways. It's not really there. What you want to ensure is that your heat pump is really kicking in when it's supposed to kick in the winter. And what is your, until what temperature does your heat pump work? So if you have, because I mean, there are different qualities out there, and there's a lot of the minus 18s that are still being sold. That does not give you, or the minus 12s as well. If, you know, the ones that are the most efficient are the ones that would work up to minus 35. So if you have a heat pump that will work to minus 12, minus 18, it's, you know, more often than not, the furnace will kick in, especially at night.
Okay.
Because it's colder. So that's what you would have to verify first and foremost. If you don't, then it's not really meaningful savings there.
Okay, so yeah, we were told by the company that the heat pump goes to he kicks in when it's minus 30 or so.
Okay, so what I would do is maybe have a conversation with the tech or the person that actually sold you and go over the bills with them to understand, because you know, there is a couple of things that might not make the heat pump kick in. One of them, believe it or not, is a clogged filter. So you know, ensure that your filter is being changed, ensure that it's actually kicking in when it's supposed to be kicking in, it's programmed right. So there's a lot of things that I would look at with the tech just to ensure that it's in good working order before we say these are my actual savings.
Okay. So you mean the filter on the furnace itself? That's the one you're talking about?
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, Walter. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for the call, Kathy. Yeah, we just had a filter cleaned yesterday. It was clogged with pollen. So, you know, being outside, and that would have just been in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, you got to clean those filters. You're listening to Walter Assey. He's the president of Renovco, and he's here to answer your questions. This is the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. Let's go back to the lines. Haley is on the line. Hello, Haley.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question for Walter?
Good. Okay, so we just sort of, we're at 90% done, major kitchen and bathroom renovation, like gut to the studs and everything. So at the beginning, when I was discussing with the contractor, we moved our stove, so obviously the venting needs to be moved, and in the bathroom before, because it was an older home, did not have any venting. So we had discussed that it was going to be, like, we were going to, like, drill through the wall, I guess, or make a hole through the wall and put the venting out there. But in the end, without, like, letting us know, he vented it out the faucet smell. So is that good or bad?
Sorry, what did he vent out the faucet?
The soffit. The bathroom venting.
Yeah.
And the kitchen and the oven hood.
Okay, so the oven is probably more problematic. I'm going to kind of answer both questions in different ways. The fan, I mean, soffit, bathroom soffit going, bathroom fan going through a soffit is possible if you have the right clapet. So there is a kit for that, a soffit kit. But what you also would need to do is you would install a sheet of plywood about, I would say, 3 feet long, and you would install the soffit, the exhaust in the middle of that. So you would have a blocked soffit, one but 1.5 feet one way, 1.5 feet the other way. And we're doing that simply to avoid the backdraft of the condensation traveling back into your attic in windy days. So what this is pretty much the trick when it comes to bathroom fans. Because if you don't do that and it's a bit windy, then all the condensation, yes, it gets out, but it gets back in.
So oh, that's yeah, he definitely didn't do that.
One way. It's going to be a lot more challenging to do with an exhaust fan. I mean, you could try the same for the oven. You could try the same concept, but it is, I would not have done, I mean, the oven is a weird thing to put out through a soffit, to be quite frank with you. I haven't seen that done before.
Well, exactly. That wasn't agreed upon. And at the beginning, that's definitely not what I wanted. And I feel like at the end, he just got lazy and didn't want to put the hole through the wall.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, that's incompetence more than laziness, to be quite frank, because that doesn't really work. So, I mean, again, worst case scenario, what I would do is I would block that area off. So just to ensure I don't have any, backdraft going into my, my attic. Cause I mean, the last thing you want is backdraft is grease and oil and,
and
everything else and cooking smells. So, one quick fix would be what I just told you, but it's still not an ideal situation. So if you have a chance to correct that, I would
actually do it. No, the cabinets out. And then when he had, before the cabinets were installed, I was like wondering when he was going to put the hole in. And then the cabinets were installed. And then at the end, one of his guys was sort of doing it. And he's like, well, no, it's going out the soffit because it goes right at the top where the roof meets wherever it was in the cabinets. And you couldn't drill through the cabinets on it.
Yeah. So again, what it's easier for you to do to address that from the outside. You're going to open up the soffit and you're going to make sure that you have that area blocked off so no backdraft can occur. It might eventually, if it's a long area and you don't have a long trench or ventilated soffit, it might start causing some type of damming because right now you would not have ventilation in that part of the attic. But it is really your only option right now, unless you want to really go
go
crazy with the new renovation.
That's so crazy. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Haley. That's Haley calling into the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. But so what would you do normally? Like, it is hard sometimes to vent the stove, right? Like, would you do it below the soffit? Would you have a separate whole tunnel for it?
Well, usually, more often than not, they're done below the soffit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really a better way of doing it, not through the soffit itself. Because, I mean, going through the soffit, what you're also doing is you're going through a very cold area, and then you're going more often than not up and then down, or up and then straight. So that every time you are making a turn or an angle or a bend, you are losing about 30% efficiency. That's if you're not going upwards. If you're going upwards, actually higher than that. So there becomes the question of the efficiency of the exhaust, the suction. So you have to really go with a very strong exhaust fan, which is less and less the case because these ones are typically very expensive. And usually more often than not, the motor of these are on the outside as well because they become very noisy.
Right.
So I don't think that's their case. So that's the efficiency becomes an issue for us, and then the backdraft into the attic. So yeah, you go through the side of the wall. It would be really your best scenario.
Okay, 514-790-0800. You can call and ask Walter Assey a question. We got lots of texts piling up. We'll get to those in a minute. 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey. Hello and welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Sue Smith with you, and we've got Walter Assey here, the president of Renovco. Walter, you wanted to talk about the Ask Walter button.
So for all the other markets, I know that sometimes you can't call in live, askwalter.com, and I will make sure that I try to get to you as fast as I can. We try. Now we do it, we do a lot of it on social media as well, so on our Facebook page. we try to answer you. Ask Walters, and you know, I will also try to answer it directly to you.
How do you have time to do any contracting, Walter, answering all these questions all the time?
I know. So, I try to get to as many as I can. Well, sometimes we get a lot, but it's actually fun because I get to communicate a lot with my with the listeners as well. So, you know, hopefully I can get to you as fast as I can. And if I don't, I do apologize. But I really try to, you know, I have a couple of hours a week and I just, you know, concentrate for that. So.
All right. Well, if you can call in or text in now, this is your last chance for today. 514-790-0800 is the number. And we've got a lot of texts that have been piling up, Walter. So, and it's kind of still on roofing. This texter says, we found a couple of shingles on the ground and can see where they're missing. We called a roofing company for a roof inspection. Is there anything we need to verify?
Typically, to verify, no. What you need to do is obviously put those shingles back. So it happens sometimes if your shingles are missing nails and it's a windy day. So, I mean, just make sure that when you do call the roofer, do not say it's a couple of shingles, they won't come. Okay.
Right.
Just say, I need, you know, someone to look at my roof. I have a couple of shingles that I have few shingles that flew off.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, get them to do maybe a complete walkthrough, see if there's anything that needs caulking, if there's like a full maintenance, if there's any loose shingles, other loose shingles out there as well. The age of the shingle makes also a difference. So, sometimes when they get dry and curled up, it's easier for the wind to pick them up. So that may be also a thing to see and to analyze is, you know, you can actually see it yourself. If you see that your shingles are dried up, it's time to look into a new roof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm thinking the roofer's going to say that anyway, rather than just put a couple of shingles back on.
Correct. I mean, if there is an emergency repair to do, do not cheapen out on that because you don't want water damage until they get to you. But I mean, you have to ask the question, what happened? And usually there's one of two things. Either from the install itself, they didn't nail enough the shingles, or because now the shingles are dried up and curled, it's easy for the wind to pick them up.
Okay, so that's from the text line. There you go. That's some of the things to look out for when the roofers come. Here's another text, Walter. I bought a semi-attached house a year ago. It was built in 1964, and it has a low slope roof. It's coming to the time when we'll need to change it. There is no access between our ceiling and the roof to see what's between. How do I know that everything is okay? I find two of the bedrooms upstairs are chilly in the winter despite the heating. Also, when we bought the house, we did not have gutters. Someone said they were removed on purpose because with our type of roof. Can you shed some light here? It is our first home.
So, I mean, a low slope roof, you would want to look into a potential elastomeric membrane roof rather than a shingle roof. One of the ways you want to know what's going on, and it's actually a good thing that you're replacing the roof, is you will do an opening on the roof decking from the top. So when the roofer comes, he remove one sheet of plywood to see what type of insulation you have and everything else. Now, in low, where she's going to have her real challenge is in low slope roof roofs, you don't have much of a space for an R50 typical blown in or fiberglass.
And that's what you should have is R50?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if that's the case, one of the things that she might want to entertain is to urethane the roof now that she's opening the roof from above, because it takes a lot less, it will 8 inches is more than enough for her to get adequate insulation up there. So that's one way to look at it. And in these types of scenarios, you might also entertain what you call a hot attic. So an attic that is full insulation with no ventilation in it, probably than just a regular attic. Because a regular attic with that much of a cavity is not going to really work well unless you have urethane insulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is a text wondering about you suggesting a roofer. I don't think you suggest contractors.
I mean, we
here?
Can suggest roofers off air because we don't want to, you know, we can. Sure, she can reach out to me and I can.
Okay. That's an Ask Walter question, maybe, on the website.
That's where the Ask Walter might help.
Okay. That's Claudia living in a bungalow wants to know that. Hello, Walter Assi. I have a problem in my underground garage. On my concrete wall, on the other side is the earth. On top of the concrete, just before the wood, where the structure of the house begins, I have this white powder in some area. I've seen that the weep holes were blocked from the previous owner. I just fixed this, but I'm wondering if it's a condensation problem. I will send you photos to show you. Okay.
So that would be another good Ask Walter with the photos. But she's talking about the rim joists. She's talking about the fluorescence. So if her weeping holes are blocked, that is a problem. So it's not a water infiltration problem as much as it is a trapped humidity problem, that the water and the humidity have nowhere to go because they block these weeping holes. So one thing you could do is she can unblock them.
Yeah, she said she's done that. What is a weeping hole? I don't even know.
It's the hole that you see at the bottom of the brick. So it evacuates the condensation that is in the wall cavity. And a lot of people think it's a mistake and they block them. I don't know why they do that. But yeah, that would be a good start for her. What she could do now is to see if that solves the problem, clean the efflorescence. If it comes back, then there's another source of humidity somewhere else.
All right. Well, that's it. We've run out of time, but thank you so much, Walter. And texters, I guess you'll have to use that Ask Walter button, which is on the website.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Renovco. You've been listening to the Home Improvement Show and Walter Assi, the president of Renovco. I'm Sue Smith. Bye-bye.